You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Avec Aperato et ses invités.
About 9 years ago, I interviewed a woman whose husband was killed in the World Trade Center on 9/11. She received $5 million from the Victims Compensation Fund and in charitable donations. But it was how she spent that money that caused national headlines and public outrage. Take a look.
The day those buildings crumbled, so did my whole life. It's hard to imagine that the towers even stood here. Kills me inside. It tears me apart.
In the summer of 2001, Kathy and her husband Dan were living happily on Long Island.
I was a homemaker. I took care of my husband. I loved my life. We had three beautiful children.
Dan was a successful bond trader for Cantor Fitzgerald. On the morning of September 11th, as we all know, when that plane hit the North Tower below his office, Dan called Kathy. He told her he loved her and to take care of their kids. That was the last time Kathy spoke to her husband. After Dan's death, Kathy says her grief led to a shopping addiction of epic proportions.
I'd get so upset, I'd go shopping, and I'd feel good when I left. I'd forget about all that other stuff. I think I have about 300 pairs of designer shoes. This dress is a Christian Dior dress. It's absolutely stunning. I believe it's almost $4,000. This is my pocketbook collection. This is a Fendi bag that I really love. This is about $4,000. I renovated the whole house. This is all new. The kitchen was about $250,000. Everything, furniture, all that. I spent about $1 million on the house.
Not only did Kathy spend $500,000 on just clothes, shoes, and purses, she also spent $50,000 on plastic surgery for friends, including breast reductions, eye lifts, Botox. She even gave a woman who gave her a facial enough money for breast implants. So it sounds like you're kind of out of control.
Well, after I lost my husband, I had no control. They put me on medications, but you have no anxiety. I don't know what out of control is after you have your husband brutally murdered and your whole life collapsed.
But would you say you were out of control with the spending?
The spending filled the void. Mm-hmm. And then I realized it couldn't fill the void anymore.
But you don't have to buy Vera Wang and you don't have to buy $800 shoes.
Right.
So you can see why that some people who donated money to the relief funds for the families might be upset.
I didn't use any of that money. None of that money was used towards me shopping. All the money people sent me went to my children, and it's in a bank for my children. Mm-hmm. So that's a misconception right there, Oprah.
Okay, good. Clear that up. So what money, when we're talking about you spending all this money, the 50,000s and the 100,000s at a time on different things, whose money was that?
Mine. I was given a large sum of money, and I have a lot of money.
So you're talking about the insurance money or the compensation you were given
exactly by
the government.
The government.
And do you believe that people are justified in being upset about the way you spent it?
I don't care what people think. The only person I have to talk to is my God. Mm-hmm. The reason I...
Are you upset about the way you spent it?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I'm like, I want my husband. I don't want material things.
Do you feel, Jessica, that your mom doesn't want you guys to be sad? That's what I'm getting. She doesn't want you...
No, I think she would do anything in her power to make us happy.
This is feeling like you need to feel
Everyone
the pain.
Compares.
You need to be sad. A horrible...
Hi, everyone. You are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. I am Garris from Geneva, Switzerland. Or Garris, depend on which way you decide to pronunciate it. So anyway, we were just listening to a clip from Oprah Winfrey, of all people, with a supposed widow of 9/11 that was claiming that she spent $5 million on everything. And I just wanted to play that clip in conjunction with something I posted on the Discord server, meaning that the relief or compensation fund for 9/11 victims was complaining about the fact that they don't have money anymore, that they might have to cut back on the money that they are giving to people. So that is something new. They claim to don't have money to pay the supposed victim. So how many of those people are paid to, just to be silent or to continue to play the role? I don't really know about that. All I know is that those people want more money. And, I don't think that many of those people are really alive, and think that it's mostly a relative that want some money. I also posted on the Discord server the beautiful and gorgeous lady. She seemed really nice. Just look at her and you will feel warmer. She is the fund administrator. And her title, her job description is Special Master. She's wonderful. That is something, I want that job. I want to be the Special Master of something. Anything. Even if I were to mop the floor but be a Special Master, I would feel better about myself. So anyway, this lady and the people attached to her and this ready fund, they are claiming that they don't have any money left, and that is a big problem. We posted also a link to an article on that, which is fascinating when you hear those adults saying that, that 18 years later they can do nothing because they lost a loved one. Which is really interesting because what would they do for people that love that lost a loved one in a car accident or random act of violence?
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Nightly News from Central Queensland, Australia, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
So that was Nightly News bumper. Nice gentleman. But you have the occasion on here on the Fart podcast mostly, I think. Anyway, back to the point I was making about 9/11. I will give you a few info I found on the article. Just to give you a quick background. Not that I give that much credit to those info, but those are the ones that are put in the front of the public. So at least we can give them that value anyway. So as of February 15, 2019, I suppose, because the article was written last month, if I am correct. So as of February 15, the fund has distributed nearly $5 billion for 21,000 claims of illnesses and death that doctors are certified were caused by the attacks. So if I were to pay any tax in the USA, I would be very mad about the fact that they spend $5 billion. I would believe that most of this money is taxpayer money. Because in the end, people are not that generous. A few hundred million, I would have believed, but $5 billion is something to behold. So the fund average decision was worth $240 / $470. So that's not that much, to be honest. If I were to pay such a menial sum just to buy my silence, you cannot count on me for much long, I would say. But then I would figure that there will be many, many perks that come with that also. So anyway, I love the title Special Master. Special Master. So if anyone listening is a Special Master or anything, let me know. We'll be glad to hear your story. So that is something I kind of wanted to speak about. They know our cleaning. Oh, so I am now joined by Dangerous, aka Original Simulant. So, Iris, how are you doing today?
Good, man. I think I hope you can hear me. I've had a lot of connection issues, so I'm not sure if it's how it sounds.
We will. You sound great for the moment. We will try as best as we can. And I was going on about a few things that I posted on the Discord server under the 9/11 media fakery thing. I was speaking about the fact that they now claim that the fund for the 9/11 victims is almost empty.
I saw that before. Yeah, the victims fund. They're going to stop paying it off at the end of the year or something. Is that right? They're going to stop paying out of it.
No, they're saying that they will have to cut many funding that they will give to people by half or even 70%.
Oh, I got you. They're reducing the total amount, I guess.
But they claim to have distributed $5 billion. $5 billion. Could you imagine that?
That's a lot of big numbers. $5 billion, huh? How many people? You said 21,000?
21,000.
So that's 400,000 per person or something?
Medium claim was $2,040. The average claim. $240,000. So that's a lot of money.
What if they had to pay taxes on that?
I will figure out, and I will figure that. Of course, it's not real that 20,000 people were paid. I will say that the money was spread around less people, because as I said, if you were to buy a silence on anything, it will take a lot more money than just that.
Oh, I don't know about that. If it would take any amount of money, then you can always be brought down, right? It's kind of one of those things where you either would or you wouldn't. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's true.
And say it's never really about the money, you know?
Yes, yes. I would figure that you can be pressured to stay silent in many, many ways.
I don't even know if you'd have to be pressured. You could just volunteer. You have people clamoring. How many of these people right now are so mind controlled in the dialectics of politics that they're just clamoring to do whatever they can on one end of the spectrum in America, at least, or the other? Like, they'll happily volunteer to participate in some kind of hoax or whatever, probably, if it meant getting Trump out of office, or conversely, keeping him in office, you know, if they believe that was the case.
Oh, yes, yes. I believe that people will go a crazy length just to further their political goal, or what they are thinking is their political goal.
Yeah, their ideology.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're just eager to do it, I think. But,
yes, but the world pre 9/11 is a special place. Now it will be easier to find people to blame something on the Arabs. But in 2001, I think not that much. I think that you will need to bribe the people at least at the start, and then seed out the bad actors and the people that might talk. And 15 to 20 years later, you only get a few good ones, the one that you know you can rely on and put on TV or anything like that, and they will say the right thing and always have the right attitude.
I wonder if, maybe. I wonder, I always wondered, you know, what would you do? Like, Carl Sagan's famous, you know, statement of like, incredible claims require incredible evidence or whatever, you know, what I'm talking about. But really, that's just, the crux of that is that claims require evidence. So let's say that you were there or whatever. What would you do? How would you go forward? Quote unquote. You know.
If I had some if I knew for a fact that everything was fake and I was there to witness it, you mean?
Well, you wouldn't witness anything, is it fake? But like.
Yes. If I knew that it was all fakery, I don't think that there is many things that you could do.
Exactly.
To go against the grain, kind of.
Not really. I mean, you could make a website, maybe, but, I mean, who knows if anyone would ever come across it, you know? And then...
Yes, and even if you were to make a website, people will say that you are lying when you say that you were there on 9/11. Even people from the official story and the conspiracy people will say that also.
Yes, they will. In one voice, the people said, "Crucify him." You know.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The direct energy weapon people will say that you are lying because you want to further the agenda that there was no destruction on that day, and the official story people will come on you because you say that there was no plane. So it's like there is no real way that you can do much about it, even if you were to be a witness of the thing.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's kind of what I always concluded, was that whether you can even do much is one thing, but just how you would even try to do it. You know, when you go through the steps of, like, you could call the newspaper. I mean, I don't know how you get a reporter. I don't know how you get I have no idea how I get a reporter to come and do a story about something I think they should do a story about. For example, I could call the New York Times, right?
Well, it depends. It really depends. If it is something juicy and something meaningless, I will think that they will come to you and make some pictures and write something. But if you were to call a newspaper and say that a big national trauma is fake and that you have hard evidence, I don't think that they will even report you to the authority, I think, to be honest.
I think that'd be the... Yeah, right, they just belong to the FBI, yeah.
Yes, I think that...
They're not going to come out and talk to you. I mean, how many crazy people call them every day with shit, you know? So,
yes, I used to listen to Coast to Coast AM radio, and the people that called to say things that were really crazy were... And a big amount, so. But that's also something that that is a risk of taking calls live. Like, was it on YouTube or on live radio or anything? You can have all type of lunatic claiming crazy things, but maybe you will have the real whistleblower.
I was one of those guys that called Coast to Coast to say crazy shit before. Just make stuff up.
Okay.
Dracula, I was asleep last night, and Dracula came and delivered my pizza, you know? Say all kinds of shit.
Yes. And those are mostly archetypal type of story, you know? Like the black AID kids or something meaningless, something that will really not change anything in the real world or anything like that. And also the thing is that all of those crazy stories, they don't implicate anybody in power, so... It's really a good way to get people with an inquisitive mind into a wrong track, kind of.
Yeah, people who are well-meaning, good-natured, kind, very often derail them completely.
Yes, you can see some people that were well-intentioned go totally off track in the end. Of course.
Yeah, I think a lot of people really believe this stuff, you know, really believe their... what they're saying. I mean, they're either hollow inside completely, or they've just kind of lied to themselves enough to where they really believe it.
Yes, and they want to be a part of something. And if you, in my, I hate to say that, but in my kind of a waking up process, I listen to a lot of stupid, crazy things. And wonder, are those people believing what they're saying, or is it just a game that they're playing?
Hard to know, man. I mean, yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, I didn't believe that, you know, when I would prank call Coast to Coast or any of these other numerous radio shows, I would do that too. You know, I wasn't trying to spread some subtle truth through humor. I was just being ridiculous, you know. So, but on the flip side, you know, so are those people doing that too? Are they weaving these really elaborate, you know, stories? But, you know, maybe it's an urban myth is an interesting thing. How it gets in the mind of people. But yeah, but like on to 9/11 again, like you're saying, you know, if you take the mainstream at face value, one of the things they said about I think it was Egypt in the Arab Spring, I think it was Egypt or it was Turkey, where they said that like Twitter had been shut down in the area specifically, so the video couldn't get out or tweets from that area specifically couldn't get out. So you know, this is if such that you know if something like that, some big hoax thing did happen. You can just block all the communication from the area too, according to that story at least. You know, and if you isolate it and cut it off completely.
Yes, but the mainstream narrative doesn't make any sense, because if you if you were to look at any TV at the end, at the start of the Syrian conflict in 2011, the only source of information on fighting, casualty, or any event, for that matter, in Syria, was the Syrian Observatory on Human Rights. And those things is just one guy that is supposed to have insider in the country that call him and give him info. Because he's just one guy, and he was the main source for all mainstream news, anything on Syria.
It's funded by, like, the USAID or something, too. USAID.
Something like that. And you have to believe that one guy alone in his garage did that by himself.
Bill Gates built, you know, Microsoft from his garage, and Steve Jobs built Apple computers from his garage, and Jeff Bezos built Amazon from his garage. Why not, you know? The myth of the garage.
Yes, the garage archetype, the poor guy alone in his garage that has a revolutionary idea. In the real world, most of those people, they end up dead, or their idea end up in the end of a big conglomerate that had buried it deep.
Yeah, if they're lucky. I mean, if they're lucky, they get paid for it in some way. Like, if they're lucky, it's almost a disadvantage to develop something independent.
Yes. Yes, I remember. It was a fictional work, of course, but I remember seeing a movie about this guy named Tucker. This guy Tucker was a car engineer, and he wanted to create his own brand in the 50s, I think. And at the time, there was this new thing called a seatbelt, a whole thing. So the guy wanted to put seatbelts in his car. And I remember one scene in the movie where the marketing guys are saying, remove the seatbelt. If you put a seatbelt in the car, people will think that they might have an accident with the car. So just remove the seatbelt. So that is to say that safety and the well-being of the people are not at all in the interest of the big group. So, and I think that those people are put in place for a reason.
That or they're the only thing there. Are that kind of person. Either way, you're kind of catch 22 on that one. So you're kind of screwed either way. I think it was Ralph Nader. Wasn't it that pushed for the seatbelt thing later?
Well, the story is that I at least in Europe. I'm sorry, we just mute.
Prior to I guess the 50s, they didn't have seatbelts, which seems like
the in Europe the story they tell you about seatbelts is that they were invented by Volvo at the time.
Volvo and Oprah are the only people who care.
So that is something also, the fact that those security equipment were not of good reputation at the start, but in the end it's the public pressure that put the best thing we have in the world in place. If it were to the industrial people, we would still have the bad chemical in the food. We still have it, but the worst, if I can say.
That's why whistleblowers and stuff perform a valuable, really valuable service. Tragically, you know, their own destruction often. It's not like in these companies, everyone is just counselor, like they hate human beings or anything, or you know, it's not like some movie villain. You know, people are,
no, I don't think so. But I think that it's hard to have a big margin of benefit in any trade. So it's like for everyone, you. Oh, I'm sorry, just the streamer bot got out. So we are not live anymore.
But the streamer bot's going in.
Oh, it's still there, I'm sorry. It was the other bot that leave. Because the streamer bot tend to leave sometimes at a random occurrence. It happened on me yesterday, so...
Well, Trip will tell you that it's something you've done to it. Don't worry.
Yes, I will speak to him about that later, I think. So as I was saying, I don't believe that those companies are led by nefarious individuals that want to kill everyone and replace the population or anything like that. I think that it's just mostly cost-cutting in the end.
It could be both. Really, but ultimately, like, I don't even know if it's just cost-cutting, because they have all kinds of bloat and excess in all kinds of areas. So I think that if you've ever worked in any hierarchical organizational structure, it's like any kind of change, you know.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Just Saying Dude, and I am speaking to you from New Zealand, and I'm telling you that if you want to get the real oil, you need to listen to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
I think that guy had a British accent last time I heard him.
It's really strange. If he listened to me in 1 year from now, I will not have an accent anymore.
That'd be weird.
That'd be really weird. No, I don't think it will ever happen. But you were saying people in the hierarchic position.
Well, just anyone in the institute, it's very, any kind of change at all. And everything that's outside of mundane, day-to-day operation, everything that's different than yesterday, basically, is change. And that stuff is resisted very strongly, you know, from every angle. These pricks on TV, you know, will go tell you, Richard Branson, these guys will tell you that they're just like, you know, fostering change in every branch and every manager, and they're really encouraging it like a Tesla coil of ideas sparking everyone. That shit couldn't be less true, you know, if it came out of a horse's ass. The fact is that everyone is just trying to get by. You know, no one wants to add it. If I had the best idea ever in my mid-level job to improve, you know, productivity and reduce waste, and literally it required like, you know, just the simplest thing of like just snapping your fingers that had to be done by, you know, some authority who could stamp it. Good luck in the past. It could save millions a year. Good luck in the past. Good luck getting the guy above you to even try to push it forward. You know what I mean? These places are not, they just don't even, the infrastructure doesn't even exist to get wide scale changes implemented rapidly, much less like,
Yes. I think that we can see that in the food industry, kind of, because and not so only the food industry, the toy industry, the retail industry in the big sense, in the big meaning. You can see that those big companies are not ready for any type of change in the way they distribute their product. And when the online business started to go up and up every year, they were not ready, and really quick they go down, like Toys R Us go down, and that is crazy when you think of that, because that was a huge company.
My son was just saying how sad it was that they went out of business, and it is sad, but in many ways I think it's predictable too. You know? Toys R Us did, but the people who own them, the people who own the freaking asset portfolio, which Toys R Us represented some part of, they didn't go down, you know?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. They don't even lose 10% of their overall value.
They wouldn't even lose a minute of sleep.
If it's even possible, they made money out of the bankruptcy of a big company like that.
They hope they would.
I used to watch a few YouTube videos of a guy that used to walk around in different Toys R Us and when they were closing and doing the toys of half price or even less. So it was crazy.
We had one here. In our town, we had one. My son and I went over there when I found out it was closing. And I found out late, like it was maybe 6 weeks from shutting the doors at this point. So they were down to like 60%, 50, 60, 70% off in items, which was pretty significant. Because they have like... know, batteries and stuff like that, dumb kind of electronic shit that you might not have much need for, but you might pick up if it were a good deal, like some kind of like $200, you know, stupid reserve USB charger pack or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Now $60, so that's a hell of a
yes. On the video I saw, the guy was mostly pointing out the Star Wars toys. That was most more of his thing.
We got some toys for like literally like I think 50 cents or something, 50 cents, 75 cents for toys that were, you know.
Which show that in some ways all those companies, they don't have a real money issue, because if you were to manufacture anything and you will end up having to sell it at 40% of the retail price that was the first one. your company will go down very, very fast. You will have to have a bigger financial reserve to sustain such a financial hardship.
Oh, my God, of course. It's, I mean, this is how you can tell the economy. So it's really just like a facade, you know, that, like, there's some kind of central management going on, you know, behind the scenes. Because there's no way, no one could afford, no independent human being, you know, of normal means, can afford to have a business that carries that kind of inventory, or really any kind of inventory of things that aren't really going to sell, you know? It's just wasted space, and you have to pay for it. So you're basically storing some other company's product for them and paying them to do so, you know? So if you have a bunch of stuff in your store that no one's ever going to buy, which, you know, how many retail stores, I don't know what it's like in Switzerland, but here, I'd be interested to see what the percentage of items that are ever, that are kind of like never bought, you know, are. I bet it's pretty high.
Yes, and I really don't think that the people at the head of those big companies, they are stupid, because the guy in the videos I mentioned was showing off all those Star Wars toys of secondary characters that nobody care about, and you will think that nobody is stupid enough to fabricate that much figurine of a secondary character that no one will buy.
It's not, yeah, but that's if you look at it as like stupidity being the reason that it's made, rather than looking at it for like having all kinds of utility reasons, you know, like having it just to fill space, having it to give the appearance of non-emptiness, having
yes,
it,
and
you know, there's a million
and the factory worker also
absolutely
they're yeah. paid to manufacture those.
People have to have jobs. People have to work.
Yes,
what?
Yes, and it's like telling you to dig a hole and then fill it again.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter how futile it is. Ultimately, if you can just get something, you know, pay people to do it, it's better than not paying them to do anything, than paying them not to do anything, or not paying them anything and having them do nothing.
Yes, it starts to be the case. There was a lot of talk about the universal revenue in Switzerland, at least in the last few years.
Universal income, or whatever?
Yes, just paying people to... For the fact that they are breeding, kind of.
You're gonna have to. Well, sort of. If everything stayed the same as it is today, as far as our ideas about life means work, going to school and working, and existence is supported by some superstructure of people working, then they would have to switch to some kind of universal basic income, which I'm not opposed to at all, really. As long as they make everybody rich, I think it's fine. Give everybody, you know, $1 billion. That's great.
Well, that would be great, but then a loaf of bread would cost you $10 million.
Yeah, not necessarily. Not the economy centrally managed. It wouldn't.
Yes. No. Yes. The problem with universal income is that I fear that people would get lazy, and even a meaningless job kind of keep you on the edge, and yes, give you even the most stupid job can give you kind of a sense of utility and pride that universal income will never give you.
Yes. But universal income could, let you buy food and not starve to death, or be in abject poverty, which are kind of like the other options. It's not like the other option is like having some job where you have pride. It's kind of like nothing or universal income. There's not going to be any great demand for all this new hiring. What do you need? What do people, as things become, like, for example, so much of the world has existed and depended on paper. You know, the world of finance and academia, business, everything involving record keeping, which is everything, involves paper, right? In some form or another. But that's being phased out. And all those people who work as any kind of clerical position, I mean, you already see those are reduced by 80%, you know, roles like that, secretaries and bookkeeping. You don't need it, like, in the same capacity we did before. So where are all those people going to work? What are they supposed to go do? All the people who would be the future of them, what role are they going to take next? Like, because...
Yes, and the problem is that those people can not able to do any ND work yet. Those are formatted to be, indoor creatures. They are not fit to do any construction work or anything like that anymore.
What building? Well, I mean, there's no reason. What reason is there to build anything either? I mean, there'll come a point where you kind of reach a... Because you're already in America, we already have a kind of stagnation on infrastructure.
Yes, yes, but you get to maintain all those things, and here the buildings are getting older and older. It's getting less cost-effective to maintain them than to build new one in the end.
Right, but something's going to have to go where the old one was, right? So what's going to go yes. where the old one was?
A new one, the same, exactly the same.
Yeah, but that rarely happens because the stupid codes and all this bullshit have changed so much from where the last one was that, you know, in order to put the new one up there, you know, because now it's a downtown and it has all these new different fucking requirements and, you know, it can be more of a pain in the ass. It's not that it's impossible, but, you know, it could also be just as easy and cheaper and faster to build it a mile away.
So yes, that's what is happening in Geneva now. They are buying a lot of individual houses and putting big construction on top and in place of it, kind of.
Big, like, what kind of projects? Like single family residences? Or
I mean, No. Like big buildings, like apartment complex, kind of.
As I mean, single family, like multi-dwelling unit or whatever.
Yes, exactly. And the city is changing really fast. Population is ever growing, and in the end, it will end up being a big metropole. But as Swiss is a small country, things take a lot of time. So you always get this kind of country living feeling if you just go just 10 minutes far from the city. But it's getting bigger and bigger. Yeah, getting there.
Yeah, where is there? Where is there? No, utopia, no place.
Yes, when I say we are getting there, we are getting to the point where they will start to build all new altogether, you know, remove those old buildings and build new ones, and kind of taking away the charm and the soul of the city, and it will end up being like no different from Abuja or New York or Chicago or whichever city you want.
Yep, and then they'll still push the travel myth of, like, you need to go travel to be cultured and all this bullshit. But if we believe culture is controlled by, then really you're just traveling around to get the, you know, indoctrination of other corporations.
Yes, and whichever place you go in the world, we still have some McDonald's anyway, and some Starbucks, and some H&M, and whatever you want. So you get to really, really go deep into a country to really find what it is about. Big city will tell you nothing.
Yep, the monoculture. But how long will this culture of the country last? Not forever, right? Well, UNESCO is preserving it, so then you have that, like, simulacra laid on top of it. So you have your, like, cultural, you know, your culturally, your transnationally approved cultural sites to go to where things are artificially preserved. Bizarre.
Yes, there are many examples of places that were recreated or are maintained. Something that I saw in the History Museum in Geneva a few weeks back, that they replaced the rhino horn with a fake one. They even put a note to inform you about that.
They did put a note there to inform you? That's nice.
Yes, because they are fearing that someone would stole even the fake one.
Oh,
they would have to replace it. So it's like difficult to even believe that rhino exists if they are telling me at first that what I'm seeing is not exactly a real rhino. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It might as well just have a cartoon. Like, at what point does the lineman become, like, what's the point? Is there a point, and at what point is it that there's any value in trying to maintain some authenticity when the reality is that to alter it in any way changes the authenticity, you know? So if you replace one board on the freaking ship, you know, have you changed the whole ship? Is it still a ship from 1400? Or is it pretty close to still a ship? At what point does it stop being the one thing and become the other?
Exactly. That's the case for many things.
Anything.
For restored warplanes to whatever you want. At which point did it become a new thing altogether because you are starting to replace so many parts that there is nothing original left.
Right, but the reproduction is, you know, virtually identical, if not identical, to the original. Yeah.
Yes, so. But it's like everything that involves human. There is always a margin of interpretation, and there is also the technical limitation, also the fact that maybe it will be more efficient to build a replica with a polymer than it will be to build it with a metal like it was in the end. So maybe the form of the object will be the same and the function will be the same, but there will be a difference in the end.
Right, but the object is fundamentally different than it was in its whatever snapshot, you know, defined it in history.
Exactly.
But time is like that. You never stand in the same river twice. Things are all changing. Nothing's, and maybe not changing, but nothing's static or non-influenced by something else.
Yes. And that's something that can apply also to the 9/11 story, meaning that if you were to believe, and I am, that there is not one bit of footage that is true, what can I do to research the facts, really, you know? All I have left is the name of a few players and some supposition.
Yeah. This is the thing about what's the value, and, you know, like, the thing about media, right, is that all media is automatically representational. It's automatically abstract because it's some representation or presentation of the thing as the thing is, right? But it's not the thing. So it's automatically removed from the real by at least like one step. So all media is fake, really. All media, the book, you know, and media is everything that's interpreted, you know, created or interpreted. So like the symbol, the language, the painting, the song, the book, the hoax, all this stuff, the television is all media. So how do you, when you know that media is inherently, you know, profane, how do you investigate it when the only way, like what's popular, the popular approach is to read these books that other people write who might be experts in certain fields or whatever, or have personal experience with it. But really, you're just using the media then to critique the media. You're still stuck in the Ouroboros with the snake eating its own tail.
Right. Yes, and the risk of that will be to end up as a cynical guy that is contributing to see at first hand, you know, that doesn't even...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
What more do you want tacked onto this? 9/11 was an inside job?
Was it?
Who cares? Global acts of terrorism happen every day.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Noise Level, Perth, WA, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
I thought Noise Level was from Japan. That's weird.
I thought he is in Japan, but...
Noise Level.
I might be wrong. Anyway, we just heard the next step from the cartoon Rick and Morty. It's a good cartoon. Recommend anyone to have a laugh to take a look at it.
I don't like to laugh.
And I'm sorry?
No, I said I don't like to laugh. It's trying to be fun.
Everyone needs a good laugh sometimes, but like I said, you might end up being cynical people that don't even do the research or don't even want to investigate anything or know anything. And I think that's a risk also. And maybe even that the purpose of all those badly done hoaxes is to discourage people. In the end, you end up being cynical and don't want to hear anything about anything.
In the end, it's going to come down to what you're willing to believe, and what you're willing to believe is going to be what you want to believe. Almost what you want can change, but you're not going to, you know, you're not willing to believe something, then you're not to believe it. And if you don't want to believe something, you won't believe it either. So it's down to saying, I like this, I believe this because I want to, which is fine, really. And I can't, who am I to say that someone shouldn't believe what they want or do what they want, you know? But who am I to say that people shouldn't believe wrong things, you know? If you want to believe your parents love you, but they really don't, you know, who am I to say that that's wrong?
Yes, and we had that debate on the Discord server a few years back about some 9/11 footage. And one guy was defending the official story, so he was saying that what he was seeing seems real to him. And we were saying, most of the other members here and I were saying that we see it as totally fake. But in the end, it's like this footage are made up to the perfection because you can see what you want to see in them. If you were to believe the official story, it will seem perfect to you. Everything will be on cue and it will smell of real truth. But if you are a skeptic or you don't even believe anything that they say about 9/11, that footage is also perfect for you because there is also every kind of cue, every little clues that you want to see that this is fake. So it's like there is food for thought for everybody on those events, kind of.
I think it's the value. I think it's the what makes this stuff, if this stuff really has any value at all, and if it's, you know, to the extent that it might be considered like a kind of a sacred process, that's what it is. It's the determination of not who's lying and trying to paint your conspiracy pyramid correctly with your threads and pins, but who is dismantling the process of what you believe and why you believe it, and, you know, getting that or accepting it, either one. But it's ultimately to figure out, if you're in it ultimately to try to figure out who did what or something, it's no different than watching a movie. You know, you're passive almost in it. Like, none of it depends on you. It all depends on someone else. It all depends on, they could just come out and say they did it, and then, you know, you've won. But what have you won, right? Nothing. You haven't gotten fuck all for doing all that. So.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they will not double your salary. You will not, people will not come up to you on the street and shake your hands or anything of that nature. You will still have to go to your job and do anything normal. And, I, to be honest, I don't think that even if they were to announce that 9/11 was a fakery right now, I don't think that many people will do anything or say anything about it.
They would all say that they've known it all along. This is well studied.
Yes, that would be the new narrative, and everybody will go with it, and you will not change nothing. It will just be like a pole shift, but except from that, everyone would say, oh, yes, we always believe that. But you are stupid enough to believe the official story? Wow.
So, this guy's always been on fire. Yeah. That's
your yes.
They'll always, and they won't come say, I'll tell you, they're not going to come say, Russ, all that stuff you told me was right. You know? Ha.
Yes. Ah,
hardly. They're going to say, they're going to have some outgroup, of course. But it's not going to be me that gets any praise. And it's not going to be my telling them the same thing that I saw on TV being remembered.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes, and in the end, people will come up to you and tell you that they never really said that it was so, that there was always an hint that it was not true, and that if you have believed them, it's on you in the end. That's not their fault that they have lied to you.
Oh, man.
Because in the end, you were supposed to know, so it's not really on them that it was all fake, because in the end, they kind of say it, so. It will be the new truth, and everyone will go with it, and no one will question it. And which will be even funnier, it will be the fact that maybe 30 years later, some idiot will came up with a book that take the former official story and say that it was true in the end.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, and you get this whole movement of truthers that defend the former official story.
Yeah, it was, absolutely. And it's like, no one's going to remember, like, how they alienated, you know, made you feel alienated, or how they treated you like utter shit, or told you they thought you were crazy. You know, when they start to adopt the same story or whatever that you have, they're not going to remember all the cruelty they laid out, you know.
Oh, no.
They ditched out. Oh.
No, if they remember anything, they will remember that you were harassing them, and that you were boring them, and that they were justified to treat you that way because you didn't let them the choice in the end.
Yep, that's exactly. Oh, man.
So even some people might come up to you and say, oh, so you were right all along. Why did you say it better?
Why didn't you tell me? Yeah, it's always.
Yes, why don't you tell me better? Because the way you tell me was really, really lacking in proof. And why didn't you mention that? It was obvious. And that would be something that you said 3 times to the guy in the 20 years that you knew him.
Yeah, you have a whole email. He's like, you know, this is when the crazy person starts to be like, well, I'll get my screenshots and I'll compile some big list, you know, and I'll prove it to them that I did try to prove it to them. No, you just got to give all that shit up. You know what I mean? Because it's worthless.
Yes.
They're never going to accept that. They're never going to accept. And it's the same as accepting a different story of 9/11. Is they're never going to accept the as evidence what they consider not to be evidence. So you almost have to say, what will you accept? And then go find that, you know? You believe 9/11 happened like this. That's fine. I believe it happened like this. If they say, what's your evidence? It's not like, well, I have, why even bother spilling out all your evidence? Why not first say, well, what would it take for you to come to my position? And if they don't know,
yes,
then they're unwilling. But if they can say,
yes,
no,
yes, I, yes, that make perfect sense. So some people will not be able to tell you what will change their mind. But if you were to have some political person on TV telling them to change their mind, that will be really quick.
Snap of a finger. Yeah.
Yes, that is something I found fascinating a few years back. I will say about 7 to 8 years. I've read a book that a nice lady by the name of Jane Goodall wrote. And it was called Liberty Warrior, Freedom Fighter, something like that. And this lady was a feminine magazine lady, and she wrote this wonderful book where she go to Afghanistan in 1986 and was with all those Mujahideen, those great warriors, with a great man, very respectful to women, and great people all over that used to fight the Soviets because they have to be the first line of defense for democracy and all that. And those people were described as really manly heroes. I mean, it will even bring a tear to your eyes if you think about them fighting with a rusty weapon, the might of the communist empire. So, and those people, 15 years later, it was totally different. Now they don't respect women anymore. And now they are tribal people, and it all changed. So that was something I thought was fascinating also. And that didn't bother anyone. That just a few years back, it was saying that those people were the salt of the earth.
Oh, and you got the Ronald Reagan meeting with the Mujahideen, saying that they're the best men, and you know they're doing a great freaking job. Yeah.
Yes. And if you really think of it, what did the Mujahideen did to the Soviet? Exactly the same thing that the Soviet did to the USA in Vietnam, which is finance guerrilla operation and unusual war tactics and all that. So I will say that it's a circle of destruction and of good procedure. And in the end, no one is winning except that the normal people on the street are just led astray from the truth by way of some wars that are not really even real wars, if you want.
No, it's all, yeah, right. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
Because if you think of it like that, if you were to really want to punch one of your neighbor in the head, would you send your small brother beat up his small brother, or will you go yourself? You will go yourself because you know that it will have no end if you send your little brother and so on and so on.
Depends on what kind of person you are. You might just pay some thug to do it and try to remove yourself from the accountability in the first place. He works over.
I think that what you describe is exactly what did happen in Iraq. Some paid thugs to wreak havoc.
If you're a foreign, big, you know, person, foreign involved in foreign government, and there's any pictures of you presently, like shaking hands with people in, you know, Western administrations, you know, that's not a good sign for your position 15 years from now. When you're called the devil.
Yes, I would think so.
Like,
but in the end, those people, like the Hamid Karzai of the world and all that, I don't think they have any intention to stay in the country when their time at the top of the power is over.
Why would you?
Yes, why would you?
Cincinnati?
And
take off your toga and get back to farming? Hell no.
Yes. Yes, and in the end, most of those people never really lived in those countries anyway. They are mostly the product of Occidental University. And yes, I think that many of the minister in the Iraqi government, where people from abroad, it's not even people that even lived more than a year in Iraq in the end.
Hitler was from Austria.
Exactly. Exactly.
Stalin is from Ukraine. Right? It's not.
Stalin is from Georgia, I think.
Georgia. Is it? Wow.
I would think so. And Ataturk was born in Greece.
There you go. And so President Obama was born in, I don't even know.
Somewhere. Somewhere. He was born somewhere. That we are sure of. That he was born somewhere. But probably not in the USA. But who cares? A person with such a suspicious backstory. Anyway.
Yeah, who's, I mean, it's like being critical of Jesus' birthplace, you know? Who cares? He's the man can, you know, heal the blind. For God's sake.
Yes, no, nobody can really criticize him. I think that all the former presidents of the USA, except maybe from Jimmy Carter, is the one with the best reputation.
They all get it. When President Bush died, they freaking, oh my God, the outpouring of love. You should, there was a series done about President Clinton and President Bush 41. About how, like, Bush Sr. had kind of, and Clinton had become, like, really, like, father-son. And, you know, they evolved into this, like, filial relationship of, as Barbara Bush would say, you know, like, yeah, divine love or something. It's bizarre. These people were supposedly, you know, WWF couldn't get, you know, couldn't stand each other or whatever. Yet now they're just madly in love. President Bush 41 or 43, who the Iraq War and stuff, 9/11. People thought he acted like his, you know, their hair was on fire when he was elected, and now they look back on him like the good old days.
Yes, yes, and he was one of the most hated guy anywhere in the world. But in the end, 10 years from now, people will. Remember him fondly and say that he was a nice guy. Remember all those stupid things he said and...
He's hilarious.
Yes.
He's going on the Ellen show, Dancing with Ellen. You know?
Yes.
These people are crying when he was elected. You know, quivering because a nuclear war was imminent. And
yes, and they will even try to portray him as a nice guy because there was this movie, Vice, about Dick Cheney. I don't know if you heard about it. It's kind of like the political story of Dick Cheney, but made in a movie with big actors and a big budget and all that. And in the movie, they just want you to think that George Bush is just a simpleton kind of nice guy. A little bit dumb, but a really nice guy in the end. And people that were behind him, like Cheney and all those people, Rumsfeld and all that, Ashcroft and Condoleezza Rice. Those people were kind of portrayed as the mastermind, but he is portrayed as the nice idiot that wants to do great things.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
But I remember that 10 years ago he was portrayed as the... More than 10 years ago. 10 years ago was Obama already. He was portrayed as this warmonger, this really dangerous guy, this ex-alcoholic, born-again Christian that was ready to destroy Iran.
Hitler, the devil, yeah.
Yes.
He was like a proto-Trump. You know?
Yes, exactly. Now he's a nice old guy that does painting. I think that's what he does those days.
Yep, just like Hitler.
Yes, exactly, just like Hitler. Just like Hitler did.
You got that.
Which is a totally different story in itself. But yes, in the end, they want you to believe that those people... finish their life as nice old guy and the love of their family and all that. Crazy.
Yeah.
That they want to throw flowers at those people that were supposed to be the destroyer of the world. I wonder if they will do the same thing with the now President Trump. And they will say, in the end, he was a good guy.
Well, maybe there's some. They've had trouble with Nixon's image, you know, recasting it. You know, they'll do their best.
Yes, but Nixon was a special case because Nixon was a really easy to hate guy, kind of.
Yeah, he was easy to like when they elected him twice.
Yes, that's true. Exactly. They seem to like him. But it was a special guy. Nixon was a not appeared to be as likable as another guy, like Jimmy Carter, for example. Jimmy Carter seemed like the guy you might want to have a coffee with and a nice conversation. You know, Nixon always gave me the vibe of a guy that wants to sell you a used car or something like that.
And he's the Quaker. And that poor guy's the Quaker, you know, and he's the one that gets that rap. But the peanut farmer, I wasn't alive for Carter, of course, but from my understanding, people on the right felt that their hair was on fire when Jimmy Carter was there.
Yes, he was supposed to be this big leftist guy, the last one at that. Because the other Democratic president, there was, there were.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Dave J. from California. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
So Dave J. it was.
Sure.
So Dave, something also...
Dave J. used to have ladies. Dave J. used to for sure have a lady's voice. Something's going on with these voices.
Maybe.
I'm being funny.
It could be something to investigate. To put one voice on live against one's voice on the bumper.
Well, as long as it supports what I already believe, I'll believe it.
Exactly. To be honest, I already heard my bumper, and it sounds exactly like I sound now. Maybe a little less confident with the English speaking, but almost the same.
Yeah. Okay.
So something I saw today also, I think that you remember this this nice fellow. John Walker Lind, John the Taliban, Jihadi John. Do you remember him?
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't read it, but I remember about that. He was quite the witch.
Yes, so you might be able to walk across him on the street by Thursday, because he will be released, supposedly, on Thursday.
Well, that's terrific.
Get his old job back 18 years later. He must be really, really glad that the paycheck are stopping to coming again. Starting to come again.
Where did he work?
Oh, he was supposedly in jail for the last 18 years, so
he
did not do that much acting gig, but he's back now. So I expect more from him.
All right. There you go. He's in a federal prison. I wonder.
Yes, he was in a federal prison. He's supposed to be released Thursday.
Well, he killed a blamed for playing a role in the death of Johnny Mike Spann, a U.S. Marine turned CIA paramilitary operative who became the first American to be killed in combat in Afghanistan.
Okay.
Spann's daughter, like the release is like a slap in the face. Huh. Ooh, it says in the U.S. forces learned that an American, Lind, was among the cluster of Taliban fighters left in limbo after their leader surrendered to the Northern Alliance in the northern Afghanistan province of Wazir al-Sharif. That's interesting. Limbo. Fan was the first to go into a compound there, serving as a prison. There's a prison there. The first to go into a compound serving as a prison to interview Lind.
So he was 20 years old in 2002. He's almost the same age as me. Interesting.
In those moments, it's just this. So the guy that died, the CIA turned CIA paramilitary operative. What a CIA paramilitary operative means is probably used in defining. But it says, let's see here. That guy went to this prison to interview Lind, peppering him with questions about where he was, where he was from, and what he was doing. But Lind refused to respond. He said, quote, "In those moments when he chose to stay silent, he sealed his fate as a traitor to the United States."
Wow. So that is all of a story this guy is. Now it will spark a new debate, and people will start hammering this whole 9/11 and Osama bin Laden did it narrative, and 18 years later it will start the whole propaganda tour again, kind of. And maybe even they will get this guy on TV and we'll have kind of a big confession and all that.
Here's what he pled guilty to. Well, 9 of the 10 counts in an indictment were dropped against him after he ended up pleading guilty to disobeying an executive order outlawing support for the Taliban and for possessing a weapon in Afghanistan. So he violated an executive order. What in the world?
It's a really strange wording for the charge.
Sure, the wording, yeah. The wording in limbo is...
So he did not break any law, to be honest.
Well, yeah, no, just an executive order. Of course, it was an executive order which interred, 300,000 Japanese Americans.
Yes, and that is really interesting that you could charge in the USA someone for possessing a weapon in Afghanistan. That is really interesting also. You will figure that the Afghan will deal with that themselves. And to be honest, I think that it will be the only guy to be charged with possessing a weapon in Afghanistan in those years.
Lin continued to advocate for global jihad and write and translate violent extremist texts. He's 20 years old, and he can translate whatever language this is.
Yes. Yes, to be honest, my English was not as good when I was 20 as it is now. So, that's something. And I would be really interested to know how you can advocate for global jihad and write and translate violent extremist texts while being in a federal prison. That would be really interesting to find out also.
Federal prison is interesting in America. It's like federal prison is where, like if you're in federal prison, can you get married if you're two prisoners? Can they get married in American federal prison? And can they, like, live together? They petition to, like, share a cell since they're married. I don't know why they couldn't.
So. Okay. So I think that that it will be really interesting to know more about that. But anyway, the guy is set to be released, so if the guy is real, and I really doubt it, good for him.
Good for him. Yeah. What an,
like I said, they must give him his reality TV show. No, it will be the greatest show ever, don't you think?
Oh yeah, I'm sure he's gonna get some kind of reality gig.
Yes, and you can put him in many shows, cooking show, dating show, everything you want.
You have him. He'll probably be like become a politician or start his own NGO.
Probably something like that, but I would think that he will be used as a public speaker against. Extremism and something like that. Because if he were to kind of disappear in the shadow, they will not even mention him in the media or nothing like that, I would think. I would think that even if they were to, if the guy exists, of course, and if they were to release him, he will have to sign some non-disclosure agreement and they will not even tell you that the guy is out. If they made such a fuss of the fact that the guy is going out, is that there is another job for him. Another acting job for him. And who knows, maybe he will end up being murdered by someone in the storyline or something like that. It opened a lot of possibility to have this guy out.
No, no one ever takes any kind of vengeful action of their own. I mean, rarely. They always want the government to do it for him. This guy only got sent 20, he only was sentenced to 20 years.
Yes. And he did 18. I think it's fair to go out.
I can't argue with that.
But I would think that that this guy will have get a way, way bigger sentence. I'm really surprised that that he get only 20 years.
I didn't think serious guy his friend, but how he ended up in this role.
Yes, that will be fascinating also. Okay, how could they want you to believe that a 20-year-old guy end up in Afghanistan, and not only that, but that he was trusted by some people, supposedly. Because I would think that, that is my picture, that's on my profile, so anyone can see my face. And I think that when I was 20, if I were to go to Afghanistan under any purpose, I don't think that I will really get any close to any serious people. I don't think that they were that much trustful. especially in the period following the big fuss of 9/11.
Yeah, you really don't think these foreign radicals are real eager to accept white guys from America, 20 years old, coming over to join their ranks. You think they're going to be suspicious of them? Huh?
I would think so.
I would think, good night.
I would be at least. I would be, to be honest, if in my kind of organization there was one guy that not look at all like the other one, that is having some special competence, like being able to translate a language from a place he never was before in the world, I will be very, very suspicious of the guy, to be honest.
He's from Maryland, which is always a curious place.
And if the guy was to be good at handling weapon, then I will be even more suspicious, because you will have the young guy in his early 20s coming to you from another country, speaking both the language and being good at handling a weapon.
2002, former President Bush referred to Lind as, quote, some misguided Marin County hot tubber.
It's nice of him to say that. It's really strange because they treat the story of this guy like a nice youth that was misled, kind of. Like it's not that big of a thing,
Tell you what, you go do some shit like that, you'll see how big of a fucking deal it is, right?
But, yes, exactly. Well, to be honest, I think that you will get 25 years to life if you ever were to shoot someone on the street.
I wouldn't want to find out.
Yes, there is many, many examples of a very, very harder sentence for less of a crime than supporting the terrorist network that killed 300 people on your country. They will have think that they will make an example of the guy. And there is also people that were arrested at the same time that is still not liberated. So the fact that this guy is, if he exists, I say that once again. I will even think I say that before we end this conversation. But if the guy is real, of course there's a meaning behind the fact that this special story is put out right now and so late in the games, kind of. It's a great reminder for people that there are still actors of 9/11 that are out there.
Yep,
and that this story is not over. Even 18 years after, it's still not over.
Yeah, when you asked the other day about the people getting trotted out, I mostly thought about people from the event, proper, but didn't consider somewhat ancillary players from different.
Yes, I was thinking about the family members, kind of. Your husband is died on 9/11, it's been 15 years, how are you feeling? And or are your daughters living without their fathers? Those kind of people. The video I posted of the lady, I just played that just before, the lady that's supposed to have spent many millions of the relief fund money on the many things, like a surgery for her friends or things like that.
You'd think they'd cover that, but I guess not.
Well, I think that there is always a big wave of support in the start, and that is something that is not always really managed in a great way. I heard somewhere that most of the Sandy Hook's parents was get their house paid out by an organization in some way or another.
Yeah. Man, I should get off here, though.
Okay. I think I will leave it at that also. So you all have been listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. And I was Jerris from Switzerland, and I was with Danger Russ from the USA. So, bye everyone, and thank you for listening. And don't hesitate to register and to come with us to have a chat. It will be nice. So, bye everyone, and have a nice day.
Bye. We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Chris from HoaxBustersCall.com, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I'm narrating. You listen to Freakologist Radio at Freakologist.com.
Hi everyone, this is Steel Garris for Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. And I just wanted to correct a thing that I said earlier on my call with Dangerous. And the thing is that I refer to the John the Taliban as a Jihadi John. And those two characters are not to be mistaken. John Walker Lind is a John the Taliban. And Jihadi John is an other character. All of in itself. So, it was a mistake that I made, and those two people are not to be mistaken for one another. So, Jihadi John will be Mohamed Mwazi, supposed to be died in Raqqa in 2015, and he is not, I repeat once again, to be mistaken with John Walker Lind or John the Taliban. I just wanted to correct myself as I found out that something I said was wrong. So anyway, bye everyone and thank you to listen to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
That's all, folks.